Is it plugged in?
Yeah, it's
Where is Randy?
Yeah.
And we'll call the meeting to order. I'd like to introduce for you to my left, Representative Bill Miles. At the other end of the table, same side, is Representative-elect Ray Metcalf, who attended one of the first meetings that ultimately brought about this meeting. I'm Bill Sumner. We'll be joined a bit later by Frank Ferguson, who is also a member of the subcommittee. And the format is going to be a bit different than a routine public hearing format. We had originally anticipated having just a workshop or work effort, around the table sort of work effort. But because of some of the advanced publicity, things heated up a bit beyond that, allowing us that opportunity. So here shortly, we'll be brought copies of affidavits that has been shared with the committee. Some of the information I've shared with you in an effort to provide some answers to that information. Most of the questions will come from committee members. Not that they're questions that reflect or represent their personal point of view, but they're questions that over the past week or 10 days has been presented to the committee to try to get some questions and some answers. Our interest, and I think each and every person on the committee's interest, is to maximize the employment of Alaska people and to maximize, to the extent practical, businesses opportunity in the state. And to the degree that we're trying to today to concentrate on improving the employment opportunity for Alaska people, I'm just as interested in maximizing industries or your opportunities in terms of activity in the state. This will be maybe a series of hearings. Today we are primarily, or this meeting primarily, has Parker Drilling as one of the drillers in the state. We are looking in other areas, and I imagine we'll have at least two and maybe three other meetings not unlike this format involving other people in the drilling in Alaska to find out what their hiring attitudes and policies are. And we can do it one or two ways. I'll open Mr. Bullard, I'll open it up for you, and if you like, and give you an opportunity out front to make a presentation in terms of what your company's involved in or what your hiring practices are, and to respond to some of the areas that are reflected in terms of the affidavits that I gave you.
Excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, before we begin, can we sort of have them introduce themselves?
Sure, and I'll tell you while you do that, maybe we just pass this around all around the room, have people sign it. Could we start right this side and just have everybody around the table introduce themselves?
Well, I can take care of the people on this side
right,
of the table. My name's Steve Bell. I'm counsel for Parker Drilling. Starting at my far left, the gentleman now writing his name down is Steve Kyle. To my immediate left is John Gigas. My immediate right, Bob Bullard. And far right, Jim Lynn, all of whom are employed by Parker Drilling Company.
Mr. Metcalf?
Ray Metcalf of the State House. Yeah, I'm Jan Ostrowski, Birch Horton, Bibner, Monroe. I represent Quinn Paul here.
Represent?
Mr. Bull. Well, more precisely, I represent Alaska Roughnecks and Drillers, who isn't specifically a party to this hearing.
Sure.
And on my right is Quinn
Paul. I'm representing Bill Miles.
We have with us standing in the doorway here Representative Chet Chatterton. Chet, you're welcome to join us at the table. I understand you have
Excuse me, Senator Sumner. Before Mr. Bullard begins, I'd like to make a few introductory remarks. Parker Drilling is attending this meeting today at your request, and we'd like to express our appreciation for the opportunity to be here. As you've already alluded to, in the past several weeks, Parker Drilling's been a subject of some very adverse publicity concerning its hiring practices. This information's been circulated in the newspapers in the Anchorage area. Unfortunately, it's been a subject of news broadcasts, and as subsequent broadcasts have indicated, 99% of the information originally released by the newspapers and by the television media here in town was completely inaccurate. As Senator Sumner has indicated in an article in the Anchorage Times, the Alaska State Department of Labor has concluded that Parker Drilling is guilty of no violations of state law to their knowledge, and indeed have no formal complaints here concerning the hiring practices of Parker Drilling. It was Mr. Bowler's understanding that at this meeting today, we'd be given the opportunity to address any specific allegations of improper labor practices of Parker Drilling, and we have the chance to respond to those allegations to the best of our ability. We expressed reservations about attending this meeting for the simple reason that some of the allegations concern not any alleged illegality of Parker Drilling's hiring practices, but instead issues which possibly might be utilized by the Alaska Roughnecks and Drillers Association in an attempt to organize Parker's employees. As you're well aware, Senator Sumner, the Roughnecks have attempted to organize Parker's employees in the past. Parker's employees determined that they did not want to be represented by the Roughnecks, which of course is an affiliate of the Teamsters Union, and nothing we do here today is intended to interfere with our employees' rights to either be represented or unrepresented. It's our understanding that the questioning will be conducted by you, and we intend to respond to the best of our abilities to any questions that you may have within the subject areas that we spoke about earlier. It's also our understanding that in the event we're unable to answer any question today, for the reason that we don't have the information available to us, that we'll be given the opportunity to obtain that information at a later date and submit it to you for your review at that time. As you also stated, you provided us with some affidavits last week in which certain allegations were supposed to have been made against Parker Drilling. I've reviewed those with Mr. Bullard, and to be quite frank, Senator, we see nothing in those affidavits that we can even respond to due to the vagueness of the allegations. Of course, names were deleted from the affidavits, so there was no way we could check our records to ascertain what the facts were concerning the complainants. So to be quite blunt about it, we're here willing to respond, but we don't know what we're supposed to respond to. So we ask that perhaps you can give us some directed questioning, and we'd be more than pleased to try to respond to it.
All right. When you referred there that the questions would be asked by me, I assume you meant by the committee, because that's my intent. However, a major part of the responses may, in fact, come from a major part of the questions because of the intent effort that I've put on it for the last week or 10 days. Do we have a copy of the affidavits for you? I want to, as is the case with all meetings, I want to try to keep the meeting as open, elicit as much response and as much cooperation as I can. And as I stated earlier, my effort in this, the committee's effort, is in no way intended to support anybody's organization efforts. It's not intended to be on Parker Drilling side against any organization efforts. We're really concerned with maximizing opportunities for Alaska people in the state. And to that extent, or to that degree, we're going to try to find out, or ask you to volunteer for us, what your hiring practices are, intensity you have in terms of employment in Alaska, what moral commitment you feel you might have. That general sort of area is what we're ultimately trying to zero in on. So we're not here to crucify you. We just really want to try to find out what we can do, and feel free to share with us what, if the state would do, would improve your capacity to employ a lot of people. That's all. That's really the ultimate goal. I didn't call the meeting just to referee a fight. What the motivations are that generated some of the questions are immaterial to me, or the our partners' positions in the past are really sort of immaterial to us, I think. We're just really interested in some of the areas and in some of the allegations. While they aren't against or in violation of state law, as you well know, there is no local hire, that being struck down. Otherwise, some of these areas would border on being against the intent of that law or the context of that law. So I know that we're sort of fencing here for position, and hopefully after the meeting starts, the attitude will relax a little bit and we'll get into a little more less structured. Is there anybody else want to make any comment before we open it back up to Mr. Bell?
Senator, I'd just like to respond briefly to Mr. Bell's remark concerning union activity on the Parker platforms. Mr. Bowles' presence here today is not on behalf of the union. It is simply to try and alleviate what he considers to be a very bad situation regarding a preference being shown for out-of-state hires. At this point, he is not interested. This is not an organizing effort. It's not an organizing effort in particular by his union. That's a secondary question, and it's got nothing to do with this hearing at all. If Parker platforms are ever organized, and if they are, by whom? And we'd prefer not to see the committee baited into refereeing that particular fight. That just isn't before it at this point.
Yeah, we're not going to. We won't bait this way, right? But I'm going to smooth what you just said, in that I would assume that if any opportunity arises, that Mr. Bowles' first obligation is to capitalize on that, and it wouldn't surprise me if he pursued that aggressively. So, and that's been my position from the past. And as we make the presentations here today, I would like to keep one thing in mind. I won't tolerate any swearing, cursing, or any shouting. I'll assume that everybody who testifies is doing so with the maximum intensity to underscore their point of view, and let's keep it down to a civil presentation. So, with that, we're ready to go.
Excuse me, can we go ahead and continue the introduction? Of
people in the room?
Yes,
I have no objection.
Center on
Cheryl Fresca, my administrative assistant, immediately behind me to my left.
And Lindley Mixon, Alaskan worker.
Ken Parker.
Living parents. Mm-hmm.
Pat Perkins, Alaskan Skills.
Dale Chief, Director of Guardian Writer.
Chad Chatter, and Roland Drilling.
Neil Thomas, Director of Human Rights Commission. Michael Kendrick.
Kim Pontica.
Jim Lightman.
Ed Happy.
Bud Curry.
Jack Dunbar.
Charlie Ward.
George Mader.
Bill Sauer.
Jim Taylor.
Jim Donnelly, Computer Application Technology Company.
Fred Paxton,
Matt Moore.
Perhaps Senator Sumner would be of some assistance if Bob Bullard, the Alaska Division Manager for Parker, briefly explained in general terms Parker's hiring practice, and that may serve as a basis for further, more specific questions on your part.
Okay, we, to start with, obtain a contract, and at that time we designate what tool pushers that we will put on the job. And he, most cases, from that point on, would try to tell us what drillers he wants. The drillers then hire their own hands, up to the extent that if they want anyone hired out of the office, we would in turn hire people, keeping in mind that we try to obtain people that has worked for the company previously. But it is the driller's option. He can hire and he can fire his hand.
Is there any consideration given to hiring former employees of Parker Drilling?
whatever consideration can be given is given to former employees first.
Why do you do that?
Because of the fact that the people that work together, it's a safety factor. A lot of things pertain, and that's a reason for a driller hiring his own people, where they will have a crew that works together and can work safely and get the job done.
What is, let me get to something, to some specifics. What, how many employees are presently employed in Alaska by Parker Drilling?
Approximately 330.
Of that 330, what percentage would you say represent Alaskans living here now as compared to other categories?
55% of our employees are Alaskans that reside here, and this is their residence.
When you say residence, do you... I've worked up there before, and I know that a lot of people held a residency on the North Slope. That was their residence. Then they had a home house in Seattle or wherever, but they maintained a residency either on the Monopod or the Grayling or the King Salmon or any number of places that they call their residence. Are you taking in that consideration?
Mr. Metcalf, what I'm calling a residence is their home address where their paychecks are addressed to. That means people that live here in Alaska.
Well, home address, I mean, that's what I'm getting at. When they say residence, I know a good number of people whose residence, where their mail came to, their et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, was the Monopod or the Grayling or some camp on the North Slope.
What I'm calling residence, what I'm calling out-of-state residence, means people that their home address is the lower 48. People I'm calling residents reside in the state of Alaska.
Okay.
How many, of the 130, how many minority members you have?
Excuse me, I don't think that's got any relevance at all to local hire. It certainly wasn't within the scope of the meeting here today. I mean, in any event, we certainly don't have those figures available for the committee, nor would we be inclined to provide them. Why we won't provide them? Well, it was our understanding that this committee was concerned with local hire, and my fear is that if we get off into equal employment and then get off into something else, this committee meeting is going to drag on for something like 3 years. I feel that we've got enough issues that Senator Sunder feels he has to cover just in the area of local hire, and I'd like to clear the air on those before we move on to another grant. It was my understanding we have the right to clear the air.
I don't understand why not.
I just don't see the relevance of it to your inquiry, Senator.
Well, Senator Sumner has interests, other people have other interests. It's just sort of basic factual knowledge that might be helpful to the committee. I'd like to know how many minorities they have, how many females they have working. I don't know why you wouldn't provide that.
Well, I guess there's a lot of things I want to know, too, but that doesn't mean that I'm entitled to the information.
So you won't provide that information?
No, I'm saying we ought to keep this hearing confined to the issues that we're talking about here so that we can address those issues and get hopefully clear the air of them. If we want to talk about other matters, let's do it after we conclude the hearing and get
well,
these matters
send me
taken
a letter
care of.
And give me that information. Is that all right?
Well, why don't you and I talk about that afterwards?
If I can
get back to local health.
I tell you what, let's come back just a minute. What I'd like you to do is, so that we don't get into the argument, if you're asked a question that you prefer not to answer, then state that. We'll deal with that later. We'll pick up these sort of things later. If you don't want to answer it, just say, I don't want to answer that question. We'll decide how to handle that later. But right now, I'd like to just have you respond that way. If you, if it's something you don't know the answer to and you want to provide it later, then answer it that way. But in terms of the affidavits that have been submitted, and I think some of, I may be wrong, but some of the information you have deals with the subject. Some people's affidavit says that they were told by Parker that they didn't hire women, or that during their employment reign at some particular rig that they did not see any minorities on the rig. There are other avenues to pursue that, with. I mean, there are other ways of getting the answers to that information. But right now, if you have the information, you want to give it, fine. If you don't, then we'll talk about that.
Senator, if I could just state for the record that Alaska does have a particularly high proportion of minority groups in its population, and I think it does bear on this hearing insofar as it's one rather effective way of cutting down local hire in a state with a high minority population.
I understand, and I think that that it's an area that we'll pursue, but I think that they don't have the answers to it right now, that you said they'll get with Mr. Miles later and provide that information. I'm assuming that he will.
I believe, Senator, that your and my agreement was that you would provide me with any depositions of people that we were supposed to answer the questions
yes,
today.
Do you have
not
a copy of everything that's before you?
Well, we just haven't had the time to review it. I don't know if you want to examine, since you've had the chance to review these, ask Mr. Bullard questions based upon your review, or whether you want us to take the time and review these and then respond to them.
Well, that's the reason I said earlier. Any questions that are asked to ask you, I think, will be contained, or that this will be the basis for the questions, the affidavits that's before us.
Oh, okay.
And if you, and I thought the ground rules that I had established is that any questions that you weren't prepared to respond to today, you would take the time, answer the question, and get it back to the committee.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Okay.
Just in terms of conducting the hearing, are you prepared to examine Mr. Bullard on the basis of these affidavits?
Yes, and some. Well, Mr. Miles' question was in keeping with the information that's in these affidavits. Some of them deal specifically with the fact that they see no minorities hired. Some deal specifically with the fact that on Rig 176, that there are five Alaskans out of probably 25 or 30 people hired. That's in the affidavits as well. So, yeah, I think Mr. Miles' question came right out of the affidavits.
Mm-hmm. Which we haven't reviewed.
Okay. Well, now I'm not going to argue with you, and I'm not going to, you just tell me if you don't want to answer the question, say I don't want to answer it, or say I'll provide you the information later. And I think that's as fair as I can be in terms of this committee.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to belabor the point. I didn't think it was an unfair question. I can see where Mr. Jones may not have that information. If he would provide it for the committee, and then, a week or 10 days, that is suitably fine. I don't want to hear.
Is that acceptable to you, Mr. Bill?
Well, apparently it's discussed in the affidavits, and I have no idea what the relevance is. If there's a woman in there who claims she was not hired and she's an Alaska resident, then I think it's within the scope of our proceeding here today, and we'll probably choose to address the question. In terms of moving off into whole new areas, like I say, I'd just like to confine it to this issue. This was supposed to have been our opportunity to clear the air, and before we're getting a chance to do that, we're moving off into other areas, hearing even additional charges outside the local hire area.
Now, wait a minute. Trying to get information. If you'll provide that for me within a week or 10 days, that's fine.
If there's any affidavit, we'll review it and decide to make an appropriate response.
Because
I haven't had a chance to read the affidavit. You have one advantage over me so far.
Well, Mr. Bell, I'm going to go slow until we off and run. But I really, it's my impression, or my view in terms of reviewing the affidavits, is that there's very little which cannot, with some effort, be determined without asking Parker Drilling a single question. I mean, I can determine, or the committee can determine how many minorities are on the list. we can do that. So we aren't trying to intimidate or trying to embarrass you, but it does have to do with the hiring practices. And there's other ways of approaching the question, but I'd just rather it didn't get into that formal breakdown as to questioning Parker about specific hiring practices. We could say, Parker Drilling, do you hire minorities?
You want to ask that question?
Yes, Mr. Bell, I'll ask the question. Does Parker Drilling hire minorities?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Is the ratio of those minorities anywhere near the ratio breakdown in the state of Alaska, or do you know?
I'm sorry, I can't answer that without checking our records.
All right. On rig 197, correct that, on rig 176, are there any minorities hired on rig 176 or employed on rig 176?
His answer was a good answer to that one.
Okay. Do you have a figure of the total number of minorities of the 330 people in Parker Drilling's employed that are minorities?
Who are we including in the definition of minorities?
Whatever the federal government includes as a definition for minorities in terms of the criteria established by the federal government is acceptable by. To me.
Not offhand, I do not.
Is there a greater than a 5%?
I'm sorry, Senator. I think I just told you I couldn't answer this without checking the records.
Okay, will you check the records and provide that information to the committee?
I think we'll check the records and make an appropriate response to the committee.
We may wind up with two different ideas of what is an appropriate response. If you answer the question that I just asked, that would be an appropriate response.
Well, let's ask for a clarification then, Senator. When you're comparing percentages with percentages, I trust if you're asking Parker to compare the percentage of its minority employees with the percentage of minorities available in the labor pool, that is, people who've been trained to work on rigs.
No, I wouldn't. I was just making an even simpler request than that, is to say of the total number of employees that you have, mm-hmm. how many of them are minorities? And if you further want to respond or clarify as to why there may not be a greater percentage or why you have as high a percentage as you do, I think that would be okay.
Good, I understand the question.
Does Parker, are there training facilities available to Parker for Parker employees or future employees?
There is training facilities within the state, Senator. I think that we're all aware of it. The Sewage Skill Center. As far as us having our own training facilities here, no, we do not. It's on-job training, the way 98% of the industry trains their people.
Right, but you are aware of training facilities here in Alaska, Sewage Skill Center being one of those.
Yes, yeah. And I think we've had quite a bit of contact with the gentleman that runs it.
And have you hired any people out of that? Training facility.
I don't recall any offhand that we have hired out of that facility yet.
Okay. What's your personal assessment of the training facility at Sewage Skill Center? Have you had a chance to
view it? Sure. I think it could very easily be a benefit to the industry. And with the facilities that he's trying to provide now, it's a service that's probably going to be required that all people use.
Okay. Do you think it's usable as it is now, as it is as it's set up presently? By Parker Drilling, I mean. Would you be, in other words, I'm just trying to find out if you think enough of the program that you'd hire the people coming out of the training program, and if not, what should we do?
Well, we have no problem with hiring some of the people that came through the program. In fact, Mr. Kyle and Pat has worked very closely together on this.
Okay. Bill, do you have some other questions? I'm just reading off the list here. These are not all coming out of my head. Does Parker Drilling run ads for Alaska jobs in papers in other states? In other words, do you advertise outside of Alaska for?
No, sir, we do not.
These are for jobs in Alaska.
For jobs in Alaska, yes. As you are aware, some of the allegations that was made earlier, and I believe that were in the paper, had to do with the hiring ratios of people in the on the rigs in the Kenai Peninsula. Do you have with you some of the information that you prepared in response to those earlier allegations?
No,
because
sir.
Because you had some numbers, I think, that were available.
I do not. I think I answered that, of which Mr. Bowles or Mr. Fisher withdrew his questions from the newspaper after I'd answered the article. There was two of the allegations that was brought out by Mr. Bowles, Mr. Fisher, and Mr. Barker that was left out of the article.
What were those allegations?
One of them was that we operated the Diamond Inn drill ship in Lower Cook Inlet with 100% out-of-state people. The other one was that we operated Cook Inlet with 90% out-of-state people.
How did you answer that?
I answered it to the fact that the Diamond Inn drill ship, we've never had an employee on that vessel and don't plan to in the future. And the other one on the Cook Inlet, we have 70% resident Alaskans working in Cook Inlet.
Okay, let me go back to the area that was a bit sensitive before, and maybe this might help to clarify. What is Parker Drilling Company's policy in regarding the hiring of minorities, blacks, Alaska Natives, women, and other minorities? In other words, if a minority applies to you for employment, what is your policy regarding
it? He's given the same consideration that everyone else is given, he or she.
Okay, in one of the affidavits, it states, and I believe in more than one of the affidavits, it states that while applying, some of the applicants were told by the people at the desk that they didn't hire, that Parker Drilling didn't hire women. Is that Parker's policy, or how do you account for them being told that?
Well, that is not. I think that quite probably, Senator, if you would bring forth the one that made this particular charge, I remember it quite well. I granted her an interview myself, and she came in there.
Why did you grant her an interview?
Because she was fussing and doing a lot of storming around in our office. And I granted her an interview. At the time that this came up, we had 5 drilling rigs down. We were not hiring. And she asked me, says, why do you not hire women? I said, it's not that we don't just not hire women, we're not hiring anyone.
So you're saying,
go ahead. No, I was going to change the subject.
So you're essentially saying that wasn't turned down for employment because of being a woman, but because there was no employment for anyone at that time?
Senator, I believe we've made the point that the work here is very seasonal. At that time, we had most of our operation completely shut down.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pretty tough for Representative Parker to answer specific questions. I think on the affidavits, the names are blacked out, and I guess there's a good reason for that. So
I think there probably is. This one individual is in the room now.
I can understand it's going to be tough to get real specific, but in one of the affidavits, it's a bit of a narrative about a person named Zlatko. Are you familiar with that individual?
Me? This is the Yugoslav affidavit, I believe.
Yes, it's about a Yugoslavian.
Mm-hmm. We have seen that one before, so we are capable
of giving some of the sense. Can you give me how you understand the situation?
Mr. Bullard would be glad to respond to that question.
The gentleman was hired on a couple of short duration workover jobs in Cook Inlet. And he just made a temporary assignment on one of the other rigs, which he is not employed by us at this time. And in your allegation, it says on the 28th, and I can assure you that in this allegation, that whoever wrote this out is way off, and I can prove so at any time.
But Mrs. Zlatko was hired twice?
He's worked... He's worked three different times. He is an Alaskan resident. He lives in Soldotna, Alaska. He's married, has a child. His home is Soldotna.
For those who haven't had the benefit of reading the affidavit, Senator, I think we ought to point out that the allegation submitted to Parker was that Mr. Zlatko was a Yugoslavia national, not even authorized to work in the United States. And yet, as Mr. Bullard has stated, he in fact is an Alaska resident and a U.S. citizen. Just happens to have an Eastern European last name.
At least he has a Social Security card. And I believe if he was an alien, he'd have to have a work visa. Is this not correct?
That's my understanding.
The Immigration and Naturalization Service.
So prior to hiring Mr. Zlatko, he had been the last resident?
Living in
he
Soldotna.
Was hired in Soldotna, is all I can tell you. And he had been living there for I don't know how long.
Okay, so you don't know whether he was an Alaska resident, but he was living in Soldotna?
Well, I'd say if he was living in Soldotna, he would be an Alaska resident.
The difficulty in responding to some of your questions, Senator, are that Mr. Bullard has to rely on company records. Since Mr. Zlatko is no longer employed by Parker, we just can't call him up and ask him for the specifics. So we have his employment application and other paperwork he filled out when he commenced to work with Parker, and that's all we can go on.
Same line. How long do you keep employment records of people that have been in your employment?
You mean once they're terminated from work?
Once they're no longer in your employment.
We keep those payroll records back for quite some time. I don't know just how long.
So we can find out, though.
So it's like we did work for three different times for approximate length total?
Probably 6 weeks.
A total of 6 weeks, so a very short duration.
One other remark on that, Senator. As you'll recall in the affidavit, there's some allegation that Zlatko didn't even know the difference between basic drilling terms. Mr. Bullard will be glad to clarify that the person who wrote the affidavit didn't know the difference between the basic drilling terms, because one of the ones he used was wholly incorrect. So we've got a case, I think, of one individual who's obviously ignorant in the drilling business claiming that another person, in fact, knows nothing about the drilling business.
Making allegations again. I'm trying to. We're just trying to find out what the facts are.
Most of
the affidavits, it's pretty tough for you to respond to because there are no names, and that's understandable. I'm not going to ask any questions about those specifics because you can't respond to them. This one happens to have the gentleman's name, so that's why I picked that one.
I don't want you to take us personally. We just want to respond to some of the allegations that you're aware of and Senator Sumner aware of and Senator Metcalf are aware of and some other people who've had the chance to review these affidavits. Most of the people in this room haven't had that chance, and nor has Parker had the opportunity to respond to those allegations. So particularly in an instance like this where we have allegations that Parker has hired an illegal alien from Yugoslavia who knows nothing about the drilling business. This is our chance to make a record and respond to those allegations. And that's all we're asking for.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
But in spite of how little the person making the allegation knew, did Mr. Zelatko, in your opinion, have sufficient knowledge in the drilling or oil field profession?
Mm-hmm. Evidently, he must have. Someone asked for him, or the driller's hardened.
Well,
and it, let me repeat, Senator, it doesn't take a lot of knowledge if a man has a willingness to work.
Do you know Mr. Zelatko personally or not?
No, I don't know.
So you wouldn't know his
phone? No, I certainly
don't. So would you, to the best of your ability, try to find out? Or maybe necessary. You're saying essentially that is maybe part of the hiring practices that a guy doesn't have, or a person doesn't have to have 5 years experience or any particular amount of experience, although it's desirable, but that if they have a willingness to work, that there's a place for them in the oil field industry.
That's correct. Most anyone that's willing to work is going to make it just fine when he gets a job, but if he's not willing to work, he won't last long.
Mr. Billy, you mentioned that, and maybe I'm a little bit unclear about this, you said that Mr. Zlatko, maybe someone asked for him. How does that, I don't understand that practice. Can you explain that?
I think I explained that at the start of the meeting, that the drillers hire their own people.
They sent it to Miles.
He wasn't here.
Okay.
And one other thing, you have to bear with us. We are so ignorant when it comes to oil field terminology and the staff. I thought the tool pusher was some guy that was about the lowest guy on the totem pole you could get that went around handing people tools. That tells you. I mean,
Bill.
Yes.
I think maybe I can help here a little. I worked for Parker Drilling some time back. I even roughnecked for him. I was a relief driller for neighbors. I've worked up and down the slope from most of the platforms in the inlet when I first moved to Alaska. And, I'm well aware that, or at least it's my understanding, you're not here because you have to be, and we're not here to grill you. I notice you're seemingly very much on the defensive. I might clarify my position a little bit. I'm basically looked at as a friend of industry in the legislature. And, it's very difficult, I understand. I'm well aware that it's very difficult for you to paint a picture of what actually goes on out there for these gentlemen sitting down here in suits and ties, because it's a whole different story out there. But we've got a problem, and that is, from my own point of view, I'd like to see the oil industry have a better break in Alaska. I'd like to see it open up. I'd like to see the jobs pick up. I'd like to see the exploration pick up. And to do this, we need oil companies, drilling companies, etc., to work with us, because it's difficult to do this when the benefits aren't going back into Alaskans, and in the terms of jobs, etc. And I know Mr. Parker with Parker Drilling, and he not too long back was up here, and he said that Alaska get on the move, and so on and so forth. But if these benefits aren't going to Alaskans, the incentive to get on the move is not good. It creates an animosity between the oil companies, the people, the legislature, and everybody else. You've got to.
Admittedly, it's going to be a hard decision whenever a company like Parker is faced with a prospect of bringing back laid-off employees or responding to its commitment to Alaska Hire. And I think Mr. Bullard has said that, yes, he does intend to favor those who have proven themselves to be not only loyal, but employees with good performance records with the company before.
But your 10-year employees are your pushers and your drillers. They're not the people out there swinging on the end of the chain.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the people out there packing the pipe around. And that's where the majority of your employees exist, up there. And now I know it's no conspiracy on the part of Parker to hire outside. I know it's not a hiring policy. But I do know it is a deliberate effort on the part of some drillers, some tool pushers, to bring up their old crew or their old friends, give them an opportunity at Alaskan wages, and so on. But you're bringing somebody, when that occurs, you know, you've got somebody coming up from Texas or wherever that sees twice the wages that he's ever seen before, and that man is coming up here and living in a tent or wherever, you know, on a very low cost of living, and taking the money to live elsewhere. Well, we have Alaskans up here that want to own homes, cars, etc., just like anybody else in Texas, and they have to compete with this guy. Mm-hmm. And they can't. The cost of living is higher here. And it's not a deliberate effort on your part, your policy's part, but a concerted effort working with your tool pushers and your drillers to make sure the guys swinging on the end of those chains are Alaskans would be worth your while and our own.
Mr. Bullard, I'm sorry, if I can interrupt for a second, can I just ask, maybe to try and get to the bottom of this, what's being done to overcome that?
I'm
oh.
Mr. Miles is next.
I can certainly appreciate your loyalty to the prior employees at Talon, which is real basic common sense and good practices. I don't have any problem with that at all. Can you, following that up a little bit, can you give me an idea of how many new employees, how many employees were hired by Parker in the last 6 months?
Do they have a ballpark figure?
Not in the last 6 months, I sure can.
One of the problems that I think Senator Metcalf pointed out is that the kind of programs he's talking about would make more sense, say, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when the drilling business was still on the upswing here. You know, when Parker was in a position of bringing rigs into the state of Alaska and hiring crews. As Mr. Parker has already explained to Ms. Susan Andrew, who is now in attendance with the meeting, and this was covered in the Anchorage Times article last week, an awful lot of Parker's so-called hiring for the last couple of years has been nothing more than reassigning. As one rig shut down, employees are shuttled onto another rig. A rig shut down over in the King Salmon area, and the rigs move to the North Slope, the employees follow it. And if anything, the number of rigs is decreased as rigs are shuttled south or to be employed in Europe. It's not like you're staffing up two or three extra rigs every 6 months for the company. And if the company feels a particular loyalty to former employees, it naturally feels a much stronger loyalty to persons actually working at the time. And rather than laying those persons off, you reassign them within Alaska. And I think that's what Parker's done, and that's what Mr. Bullard has explained to those individuals who've asked him about that thus far.
I see. Well, I can appreciate
But the answer to your question is I don't think he knows, he said he didn't know offhand, what the specific number of persons has been hired in the last 6 months.
I see. A ballpark figure, estimate?
Not in the past 6 months, I sure don't. The allegations that were made against us by Mr. Fisher only went back for a week or two. And I think we answered all of those.
I see.
If you'll allow me to make one more comment, Senator, the affidavits we've seen so far don't allege any hiring of non-resident Alaskans, say, during within the last year and a half or 2 years. The only allegation we've seen was the allegation concerning bringing in something like 144 Texans because somebody happened to see them at the airport. And as Parker's already established, those Texans, in fact, were Alaskans who'd gone out of state to set a rig up for shipment and were coming back to Alaska.
I'm not making any allegation. I'm just trying to find out what the basic facts are because I am generally not up to speed on
So we really don't know how many new employees have been hired in the last 6 months, or the last year. Would that information be available?
I think we'll probably pull that information for you.
Yeah, we'll see why not. Yeah. Sure.
If when you do that, Mr. Bell, Mr. Bullard, can you give us an idea of, let's say there are 330 current employees. Can you give us an idea how many employees were hired in the last 6 months, whether they were reassigned, whether they were Alaska residents, non-residents, just generally what the current trend is and what your records show. That would be, I think, very helpful to the committee to establish certain basic facts. And I can appreciate where you can't say, well, we've hired 92 new people in the last 6 months, but your record certainly would have to indicate, and that would be very, very helpful, I think.
We can prepare a response for you on that, I'm sure. It may take some search of the records. We'd be glad to do it.
Follow up along the same line. Is it Parker's testimony then that when people are on a job on a rig in Alaska and they are replaced, that the only reason they'd be replaced, maybe other than your very top hands, would be with someone with seniority from within the Parker organization? No, I'll probably clarify. If you got a guy that's being let go off of a rig in your ownership, and he's being let go or being replaced with someone from the South 48, the only reason that he'd be replaced from someone from the South 48 is that that person had seniority. Is that the hiring practices?
No, I don't think we're saying that at all. Do you like to respond, Bob?
No, there's a lot of reasons why a person can be let go off a job, and if he's not doing his job, violations, safety violations, any number of reasons as to why a man can be terminated off a job. What you're saying is, do we run complete crews off for anything like this? If that is your question, then the answer is no, we do not, unless it would be people that has quite a bit of seniority with our company to replace them.
Now, I'm trying to be a bit more specific than that. Some of the allegations in the affidavit indicate that people were replaced with persons from outside who did not have seniority with Parker Drilling. And I heard you say a bit earlier, or I thought I heard you say a bit earlier, that the reason that Alaskans weren't hired or maybe hired to fill those spots of somebody laid off, regardless of what reason they were laid off, the reason they weren't replaced with an Alaskan is that there was a senior Parker employee somewhere that would come up to take that position or take that spot. I'm just trying to determine if you've addressed that in terms of a policy. And if you haven't, then I'd like to ask you to address it in terms of that policy, because it's results I'm really after.
I think to answer you again, we would have to clarify that the driller hires his hands.
Okay.
And if he terminates a man, then we have the personnel action notice as to why the guy is terminated.
Okay. But if that driller then rehires, does he typically... Does he request somebody from the Alaska head office here? Or does he, some way or another, contact somebody other than the head office that hired that person, that replacement?
It could probably go either way, couldn't it, Bob?
Sure,
if he had someone in mind.
Okay. Let me show you how this continuity all ties together, and I'll be as brief as I can. When the oil industry in Alaska comes to the state to expand its leasing policies, one of the things that we ask the oil companies, or what is your sensitivity to Alaska hire, to the Alaska economy? And without reservation, they share with us. Not only do they attempt to convince the legislature, but they attempt to convince the public in terms of their sensitivity to Alaska hire. There's current radio or TV ads running right now that talks about making Alaskans, dedicated to local hire, all of these sort of things. Then when it comes drilling time, they hire one of the drillers they hire is Parker Drilling. Now, it seems to me that they have, or you have to them, some sensitivity to carry out their mandate, which essentially opened up the work opportunity in Alaska to maximize Alaska hire, Alaska employment. Now, if you in turn delegate that authority to a driller who has no way of knowing what the original commitments were or moral obligations were in terms of, or pledges were in terms of opening up these leasing sites, then it seems to me that we've lost. And I'm trying to close that circuit back. I'm not prepared, you know, to say, yes, I would agree. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you now that I do not agree. I want to phrase this carefully. I have some concern if the ultimate person that does the hiring, that establishes the hiring practices in Alaska, turns out to be the driller. I want him to have some sensitivity back to the head office. I want your office to have some sensitivity back to the primary oil company that has the lease, and they do have sensitivity back to the legislature, for instance. That's what we're trying to establish. And rather than criticize either the absence of a policy, I would like to have your cooperation in establishing a policy whereby there's a panel established to, even if it's in your own company, to rule on the qualifications of a person when they come in for employment. Tell them straight out, yes, your qualifications are such that we'd give you a chance to go to work in the field, or no, you will not be hired by Parker for whatever the following reasons are. That's the sort of thing I'd like to see. And then when the driller needs someone to replace a hand on the rig, have him call the office and give an Alaskan an opportunity. Otherwise, it's on the very its face is counterproductive to Alaska's hire to have a driller from Arkansas or from Colorado or someplace else, if he essentially sets his own criteria, or primarily sets his own criteria for establishing who comes to work on that rig. That's the area that I think we may not want to address in detail here, but I think we ought to get together sometime in a less structured setting to encourage you and hopefully to get your pledge to recognize the sensitivity that people who have gone before you have made.
Senator, are we not getting back into the fact that the National Labor Relations Board has ruled that a driller is a supervisor in every sense of the word, and that he can hire and fire his people? And if we take that away from him, are we not?
No, I don't think that's the same. You're an independent, non-union organization, not by accident, but by dedicated effort. And I don't think the driller on your rigs has any more authority than you allow him to have as long as he's in your employ. And I think if your policy, for financial reasons or otherwise, is to hire local people when they are available and qualified, I don't think that at all is counterproductive to any statutes or regulations or rules that I'm aware of. In other words, I'm just asking for you to consider that as a policy in your company, and I don't believe it violates anything. Now, the rewards for that is it is much easier to open up other drilling opportunities for your businesses if that becomes a practical hiring policy or a practical consideration in your company. But it makes it very difficult to open up other opportunities other drilling opportunities or leasing options within the state when the benefits aren't, I mean, when the system isn't designed to maximize the benefits for the local economy.
I guess there's no way we can disagree with what you're saying, Senator. In fact, I think it would be virtually impossible for Parker to have achieved approximately 55% Alaska hire ratio if, in fact, the drillers felt to the contrary. It presumably would be very easy for the drillers on Parker's rigs to bring in a full 100% of its employees from Texas, Oklahoma. Some of the allegations, I guess, include Arkansas and Colorado. But the 55% didn't happen by accident. I think what you're doing is describing what's happening out there already. It's just that there are several other considerations involved here, and those are considerations of Mr. Buller's address.
But would Parker Drilling be willing to attempt to improve that ratio in terms of trying to tighten up? And what incentives could the state of Alaska offer to encourage us to do that?
I think we would like to cooperate to the fullest extent, as long as we can maintain, we can, as Mr. Bullard has said, as long as we can take care of the welfare of our long-term employees, and as long as we can maintain the adequate safety standards and stuff like that on our rigs and provide the service that that our customers have. Do expect.
Okay, but you know, I don't want to get into the game of semantics with you.
Yes, sir.
If that's a genuine pledge and it's something that you'd work to and have no reason to believe that you want, particularly now that the sensitivity has drawn this into focus, I and I'm sure others would be willing to work closely with you to see that ratio ultimately winds up improved. But I just don't want. I'm going to phrase this because I don't want to sound at all that I doubt what you're saying. But all I'm saying is I'd like to see it in terms of reality rather than we start it with a pledge and ultimately it comes into reality. It means nothing unless we ultimately achieve an improved ratio, mm-hmm. no matter what your pledge is or what our request turns out to be. I would like to maybe schedule some. I'd like to offer you an opportunity to work closely with us in the immediate future to try to bring that about.
True.
Mr. Miles, next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Listening to the dialogue on both sides, it seems to me maybe we're on step two and we should be back on step one. But Mr. Bullard, does Parker have a written hiring policy?
Do we have a written hiring policy? Not to my knowledge, it's just been a company policy that everyone knows.
But it's not written any place where, let's say, the committee could take a look at it.
I think it's probably the general policy of industry.
But there isn't a specific hiring policy, corporate hiring policy, like there might be a personnel policy or a fringe benefit policy.
Well, I think the only thing that we're getting back to here is, yes, we do have a corporate policy to work any of the people that has worked for our company previously and are loyal employees and do their job. We make every effort to keep those people working wherever it might be.
That's certainly very laudable. I don't have any problems with that at all. What I'm trying to find out is if there is a written policy, and evidently there's not a written policy that we can look at.
No, there is not.
In line with what Senator Sumner was discussing, and along with the unique characteristics of Alaska and the unusual problems in your business and drilling in Alaska, would the do you think that Parker would be willing to sit down and perhaps put into writing a hiring policy for the state of Alaska for your operation?
I'm sorry, Mr. Miles, I can't dictate corporate policy at this time.
Well, I realize that. I'm not saying you and Senator Sumner sit down and write, whoever the appropriate players would be, possibly sit down and. It seems to me that if we're taking a step here, and I don't think we're here to nail Parker.
No,
I certainly am not. And they have been the victims of some unfortunate publicity. But if they'd be willing to sit down with whatever the appropriate state and private industry people would be, and say, okay, this is what we agreed to, and it's in writing, and we make certain guarantees, and they make certain guarantees as far as practically possible. And I don't know if you would be the appropriate person, but do you think generally Parker would be willing to do that?
I'll let Mr. Lynn answer that for you.
I don't without knowing specifics, you know, I don't see any problem sitting down and talking with anybody about anything, for sure. And as long as it's consistent with our total corporate goals and consistent with what we do with in our total U.S. operations, that's fine.
Well, you can't write your corporate goals around one state, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
But we're grasping a handful of unnamed affidavits, and everything is very nebulous. But if the proper people from your firm and possibly some people from our Department of Labor and the interested legislators would sit down and work out a policy, it might be just one hell of a fine goal. Get away from this problem. It's a problem. Let's finish it off once and for all.
We'd be most happy.
And the question in your mind along that is, what's in it for Parker for us to pledge additional support in this area? And I think the state would be supportive in areas that might surprise you.
Really? It'd be a model for all of us.
We won't charge anything to sit down.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to run off by noon. But
we all do, I hope.
I've got just one question, or a couple of questions. You do intend to respond to some things, and I can't respond right now, but I have one affidavit here that you have a copy. Being the one with the attachments.
I apologize right here. For numbering them, we got the name off to
this,
identify
that
them.
One.
This is the top one in my stacks. Isn't it?
If I could just add, I would like to see your response to the content of that affidavit. It's your side of the story. And, a breakdown of what you think is the case there. And secondly, I'm curious, you've got, are you running 8-man crews up here? You got a pusher, a driller?
It varies with whatever the contract might call for.
Well,
each contract
cases,
has a different number of people on it.
Well, it's pretty basic around Alaska. You've got 3 roughnecks, a couple of roustabouts, and derrick hand, and a tool pusher, and a driller, and that's 8. And I would think that it would be reasonable that out of that, you get a tool pusher and a driller, and that may or may not be from Alaska, and if you consider that maybe 80% of your crew shoot for that as a goal, be from Alaska, I think that would be reasonable. But would you be willing to sit down and come back to us with an idea as to how you might slightly restructure or a policy?
I can appreciate your sensitivity to it, but what I think they've already agreed to do is to sit down and talk to us about that.
Well, we're talking about specific policies. You're talking more about specific policies, and simple fact is that just never will exist in the oil industry. It's a very loose-knit organization when you get down through the lower echelon.
Well, but I'm not prepared to accept that some policy couldn't be structured which would bind
Well, there's ways to bind them, but there's easier ways to give incentive to do so. You could place
I'm
incentive
saying,
on the
pursue road. That here, though, because we are trying to get out of here by noon, I'd like to leave at least that open to the panel of whatever's put together in an attempt to work out some policy. Then that could come back to the committee in an attempt to work with it to ratify. But I'm just trying to stay away from specific track this minute, like 80% or 60% or something like that.
If yeah,
we
well,
get their commitment to come to us and cooperate, I think that's...
I guess I'm getting it more so than anything else. Would you be willing to, at the next meeting, have an idea as to how you might put incentive on the tool pusher as well as the driller to hire Alaska? Maybe not a mandate, but an incentive.
Well, let me suggest that I don't plan to have another meeting that includes Parker Drilling as a meeting per se. We'll be back in session the 15th, and there will be individual groups that will have primary responsibility, for addressing or picking up these interim activities. And but I was just hoping if we could get there, Bill, you correct me if you disagree, but I was just saying earlier it was my intent to get a commitment from them that, yes, they would sit down with the state, whoever that responsibility turns out to be, to work out a policy. It might be Labor Management Committee, for instance, which you most likely will be on, to help work out some of those problems. But you've made the commitment, and that's the thing I wanted to make sure that we understood that yes, there is an agreement. I think that's important at the very outset of negotiations, is to get an agreement to set down and work out a policy.
Yes, sir.
Anything else, Mr. Mitchell?
That's basically everything I had to say. But
Mr. Miles, trying to cover the field here. Mr. Bullard, some time back, you had indicated that employees were sent from Alaska out to a rig, or to put together a rig, and then they came back with that rig to Alaska. Some of the information that we have, and I think it's supported in terms of the affidavit, some of the information we have indicates that group was originally from Odessa, Texas, and they went out and put the rig together and then came back with the rig. So essentially that was not Alaska people that went out and put the rig together and came back.
I didn't really say that they were Alaska residents. Mm-hmm. I said these were people that had worked for Parker a long time that were sent from here to there to assemble this rig. And I can name you names there. There's a lot of 20, 25-year people with this company on the list that you have there on that rig that has been working for us many, many years. And a lot of these people were from the Odessa, Texas area. They were utilized because the rig was assembled at Odessa, Texas. There's quite a few of them from Arkansas that was utilized in Odessa. And some of the people that put the rig together in Odessa that was brought up has now since been terminated and gone back to Odessa. And wherever you got your information is quite old. That list is not very current at all on that rig at this time. So.
Well, I noticed that there is a significant turnover. If the theme that runs through these affidavits are true, I watched the deposition of one person listing the people on the rig, and then the next one comes along and lists the people on that rig. They're entirely different, in most instances, entirely different people. And I noticed that the term of employment is shorter than I had anticipated, if they are ever to build up the seniority that you've referred to here today.
That's correct.
That I don't yet know quite how to get to that, but I'll pursue it with you later. And that's the reason I'm concerned that if Alaska people on the rigs here are replaced by people with seniority with the company, there's some compassion and understanding for that. If they're being replaced simply at the whim of the driller from somebody that he knows or some source that he's aware of, I'm not sympathetic to that, and I'm not being unfairly critical, but I'm suggesting that that's an area we'd want to address in terms of the hiring policy. There are some questions in here that I will attempt to ask you or will pursue with you on a or the committee will. Individuals with